Right, here we are with another episode, guys. Myself and Jack here. We're going to be talking today, just shooting around a few little subjects around what events in 2021 to do in the UK, what events you should be looking out for from an OCR perspective or an endurance sports perspective. We'll also be looking at a few athletes we think may shine on the international stage of obstacle course racing next year. And Jack's going to delve in deep to a bit of an event that he's taken part in the past and just give us a bit of knowledge about a new or an up-and-coming endurance sport event.
Crikey, Luke, you can let me talk or what? That was the longest intro in the world. Welcome to Multisport Media.
Setting it up for you, mate. Setting it up for you.
That's all to come. Yo, okay, so Luke, before we talk business of Multisport Media, OCR racing, blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start very basic. What did you have for breakfast this morning, Lukey?
Oh, this morning I had yogurt with some seeds and some fruits on.
Ooh. So what time do you have that?
Oh god. What time do I have that today? Probably about 9 o'clock.
It's quite late for Luke. That's quite late. So then when did you eat again?
Oh, when I ate again, I went out for a run a little bit after that. So I ate after my run, probably not enough. And after the run, I had a NGX shake.
NGX shake. There we go. There's a life into Luke's morning routines for food. I had porridge. I'm still on porridge. It's winter, so porridge all the way. Porridge, coffee. And then we had at lunchtime, what do we have? We had scrambled egg on toast and avocado.
I had avocado and rice this evening. So
the good. Oh, nice, nice. There we go. So, Luke, enough talk about food. Who mentioned that? Because you're hungry. Yeah, exactly. It's dinner time, nearly. What is going on in this podcast then? So it's me and Luke. We're here to talk about everything and everything OCR and endurance, trail running. Why Multisport Media? I suppose a lot of people are questioning. Why change it away from OCR? I mean, obviously, we still want to cover OCR. We love OCR. We're still doing OCR. We're not going to stop doing OCR. We're still going to be doing Spartan races and Tough Mudders and going abroad and doing all that type of thing. Do not worry. We're not going anywhere. However, we just decided that we'd like to bring a fresher look to OCR audio and more of a medial look, so we can also do videos and on live stage stuff rather than it all being podcasts. We want to get more into the media side of things. So that was the first part of the handle, why we changed it. And then secondly, we realized that, Luke and I, we're both, other than being fanatic OCR fans, we also like cycling, running, swimming. We've both come from fairly different backgrounds, with Luke being football and I'm being water polo. So we decided to delve more into that side of things as well, which is really the reason why we are who we are now. And we're falling into OCR, I suppose, because it fits us and suits our routine now and we enjoy doing it. But really, we've come from very different backgrounds. And really, going forward, I think we'd probably pursue other endurance sports, as you know, like I've said before, you know, we've wanted to do ultras and FKTs, and you know, I've got my mindset on a couple of adventure races, some longer runs, you know. And what's really weird, Luke, at the minute as well, is like I've really got a hankering for speed at the minute, and I don't know if it's because I'm like got a baby coming, I'm getting old, is it like shit, I need to get some speed in there while I'm at it, but I've got a real hankering for doing like real short, sharp efforts. But how long that will last, I do not know. Then the next thing I'm going to do an ultra. So I'm not quite sure what I want at the minute. But that's.
You need to use that time wisely until the baby comes. Definitely 100%. Use that time. But yeah, you're right. We're just opening up our eyes, our perspective to a range of different sports. We've always been interested in other sports, our backgrounds from different sports. So we just thought, let's open it up. Let's try and hit a few more things. You look at companies like Spartan, they've gone into trails racing. They've gone into mountain biking, but they are mainly an OCR brand, but they are branching out into many different avenues. So there's no reason why we can't. We can cover different things. We'll be taking part in some of these different events. As Jack said, a little bit of adventure racing looks quite fun, and a few other things as well. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting time for us. Hopefully, as listeners, you will grow with us and help us and support us to take this to the next level. But yeah,
and have input, you know, like if you guys want us to have certain people on, or you know someone that would be cool on a podcast, and that doesn't have to be an athlete, you know, we're happy to. I mean, I quite enjoy going into the depth of the coaches or nutritionists or, you know, that side of the sport as well. Obviously that's a big part of the sport, especially at an elite level, and that's what we are more of an elite, looking at the elite side of racing, obviously, and events. But yeah, so we're happy to have anybody, say, you know, just Instagram me or Luke or Facebook or whatever it is, on the Sport Media page, drop us a message who you want on. I know we're just looking at it before we came on live. We've got a few ideas going forward, some climbers and things like that, you know, some trail racers still. We're looking at more CrossFitters and functional fitness. So we've got some ideas that we want to bring, but obviously you guys, we need to keep things.
Have some input, let us know.
Yeah, 100%. And the more you can help out and let us know we're doing the right thing and getting the right people on. But yeah, hopefully we'll just keep bringing the same good quality content, or averagely good content from me, good content from Luke, and we'll keep it going. But
there we go. We're going to kick off now with a little bit more of a familiar feel. We're going to look at a few OCR races that we think are going to have a big impact on the international stage in 2021.
This is so difficult, isn't it, Luke? Because like, all we've got to really base off, and anybody's got to base off, is what they did, either if they've been lucky enough to race this year, which a few of definitely the Scandinavian countries in Europe have.
Yeah.
America did very early on. But like closer to home, no one's really raced for the whole of 2020. So really you're going off what we saw in 2019. Mm-hmm. But having said that, so like I say, some people have raced. One of those, I'm thinking particularly a couple of people that I know, I'm thinking, yeah, they're going to be a weapon next year if all continues.
Yeah, I think as well, you've got to kind of look at where the events are going to be in 2021. And when we talk international events, we mean the big championship events in obstacle course racing. So Spartan Race have recommitted to having their world championships in Abu Dhabi. You've got the European championships, they're going to happen this year in December 2020. So probably going to have a new location for next year. But you've got also a world obstacle. The Federation, they're going to have their championships in Sochi in 2021.
And back end of this year, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, back end. And then you've got OCR World Championships. They're back in the US, I believe, for their championship. So you kind of got three championships spread across the world. But I think you're looking as a very...
Tough Mudder.
Mudder have said that they're bringing back World's Toughest Mudder, and you've seen a lot of big names say that they're going to go and try and get an orange jacket. I know Killian made a reference to that, and Ryan Atkins as well. So that's interesting. But the interesting one for me is the Spartan Race World Championships, because I think the location is going to bring a set of athletes to the Spartan Race World Championships that may not have had the chance before. So it's probably an athlete. My first one is an athlete that we probably all know, but from a Spartan perspective, he hasn't had the chance to go to the World Championships because of its location before. So Sergi Pellegrin is my first one to watch on an international stage. I know he's had good success already in Middle East Championships, European Championships, at OCR Worlds, but on a Spartan Worlds front, I think he can make a real impact. What do you think about his chances in 2021?
So we've personally seen him race three times at the European Championships.
Yep.
And admittedly, he's always come up against a very good John Albon. You know, so I think it's I think if you take John Albon out of the idea, I think Sergei's always going to be that next one in line, I believe.
Well, you saw Morzin as the year that he won his European title, and John wasn't there that year.
That's true. Yeah, John wasn't, was he?
and he blew it away. He took that win very convincingly. Obviously, in Italy, he had a very close kind of finish to take second place. But
it wasn't close in the end, though, was it?
It wasn't close to John, but it was close for him and Peter Ziska was third.
Yeah, Ziska, yeah.
He's always up and in and around. I think for him, he's performed extremely well in the Middle East.
Yeah.
He won the Middle East Championship 2018. He's performed extremely well when he's ever raced there. I don't think he's missed a podium in the Middle East. He may have done one or two. But he's always been a very high contender when racing out there.
Okay, put it out there. So next year, Abu Dhabi happens, Dubai. Where do you put him? Position?
I'm putting him on the podium. I'm putting him in the 1-2-3.
Okay.
Do
you reckon he could beat John, Ryan?
I don't reckon he could beat John.
Killian?
I'm putting him third.
Okay.
I think there's going to be some shocks. I think there'll be some Asian, Middle Eastern athletes, European athletes that are really going to come to the fore, and there may be some shocks out there. I don't think they're going to have a... don't think the Americans are going to have a bit of a stranglehold on the top 10 as they always have, all the North American countries. I think you're going to see a few more Europeans make a bit of an impact out there. But yeah, so that's my first one to watch for 2021. What about yours, Jack?
Well, staying with the men for now, someone that comes to mind who, again, someone that most people will know, we've had him on the show, is Richard Hynek, Czech guy, Czech racer, who basically blew away everyone in Greece last year in the very last beast race to beat all the Americans. I think they were all a bit surprised because if you look at Richard, he doesn't, and he won't mind me saying this, I hope, he doesn't look like he should be running fast, or he doesn't look like he should be succeeding at what he's doing. And trust me, when you run against him, he's flying. Well, I think one thing Richard has got on his side is youth. And I think...
Yeah, how old is he? Like 23?
Really young. And I think, I know we all say that endurance definitely, the ultra runners will say endurance is an old man's game. But I think in the situation of OCR, yes, you've got your older athletes who tend to do quite well for a long period. But I do think, you know, every once in a while... Well, actually, I do think that it's going to change. I think... Currently, you've got your VJ Jones, you've got your Richard Hynek, you've got those young prodigies coming through 100%. I think you give it a couple more years, maybe not next year, but you give it a couple more, 3 more years. I think we'll see a lot more of that age group in the sport of OCR and less of the Ryan Woodses and the older age group, you know. Nothing against your older age group, because I'm not saying you can't do it when you're old, because let's be honest, we're going to be those old bastards in a few years.
Getting close to that super vet status.
Yeah, definitely. But what I'm saying is I think give the sport, of especially Spartan, the way it's grown in the last couple of years, I think give it a few more years and, Christ, we're going to have some really fast, young, talented athletes in the sport that aren't injured and have been practicing from sort of, 14, 15, 16, 17, all the way through. But I still think Richard Hynek is one that might surprise everyone in Abu Dhabi if it goes there. He's raced there before as well, I believe. And he's already won his first major champs in Greece. So his confidence is there. He's got that winning mentality, because you could say he's, you know, one thing for that is Ryan Woods, Ryan Atkins, John Albon, all those guys, they're winners. They've been there, done it, got that brain mindset there. Whereas I think Richard has now as well, and Sergey come to that.
Yeah. Do you think Richard would fare better in Greece, where it's a multi-day kind of more of an endurance-based event, or do you think he's going to fare better in an Abu Dhabi setting where it's a one and done, it's that day?
I mean, to be fair, I think he, like you say, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think he is more of a multi-day guy. I don't think he's a one and done racer. I think he's a multi-day guy, and I think actually Greece, the way it was set out, suited him as well, because he wasn't winning. He was only like fourth or fifth. It's just that he had an amazing last race, which helped him massively. I'm not saying that's the reason he won, but obviously he had to be there to win it. But Yeah, you've probably got a point there. He's probably not the best one-off one-day racer. Depends. Yeah. And this is what we're saying at the start of the conversation. We just don't know what Richard... I personally haven't spoke to Richard or seen a lot of him recently. So no. We don't know if he's been sat at home eating the Jaffa Cakes, you know, put on a few stone and actually he's retired. We just don't know. I doubt it very much, but...
Yeah, this is going to be interesting how people have kept themselves for 2020 and see what kind of form and kind of shape they're going to turn up in 2021. It's a weird time for everybody, I think, from a... I guess an amateur athlete kind of side. It's very hard to train if there's no races, and then if you're training, and it's kind of difficult to keep it all going together, especially if it's like lockdown and you can't go to the gym, you can't get to the track, that kind of thing.
And what's funny is you realize, right, OCR as a sport, as an endurance sport, is a funny old one, because let's take a runner, let's take a trail runner, I don't know, let's take Tom Evans or even John Avon or a GB trail runner. They're one, running within reason has been able to continue because it's been done, they've done it safely, effectively. But they can still go out and train at the level they need to train. Yes, they haven't got the race feel there, but generally they can still hit the paces of what they would in a race. You know, they can train as if they have raced. Yes, they probably wouldn't want to get the fatigue in their legs like you would competitive fatigue. However, an OCR racer, let's take Richard Hynek in this case, he hasn't all year been able to push his level.
Yeah, you don't know what his setup is in terms of if he's got a lot of obstacles available. And kind of what you're saying about the trail runners or road runners can still go out and get the kind of same
even
level
swimmers, even that. Like if you go like swimming, you go hockey, football, any of these sports, a lot of people have that. It's there for them to go and do and train, you know, cool. Especially running, you know, kayaking, throwing out some sports there. I'm just trying to think of all these different sports that actually with lockdown and with things shutting down have all been able to continue at their sport, probably not in the full facility, but they've been able to continue. Whereas OCR, because training grounds aren't in every town, in every city, especially not top quality ones, you know, it's like, it's difficult, isn't it? As a top end, I mean, I wouldn't call myself by any means a top end athlete, but let's take a John Alban. Let's not take John Alban because he is an exception, because he just goes and climbs in Norway for most of his time. But if you take one of these athletes that's thinking, you know what, a Liam Coffeau, a Nikolai, take one of those athletes that's thinking, you know, we want to smash next year. You know, they haven't been able to train to that level because... probably they haven't got the training facility. It's one difficult sport to train for. I think that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think maybe with those other sports as well, though, you got to look at it from the level that you're kind of alluding to, the top end. Those other facilities like Massa, that recovery kind of side of it, they may not have had the access to go.
True.
Horse massage place might have been shut. The recovery, the cold ice chamber that they normally go to has been closed. It's quite hard. You are seeing a rise in a lot of these companies providing home items that people can purchase to have at home, like a massage gun, the leggings. It's difficult. There's a lot of sports that have been able to continue to some level, and there's a lot of sports that you kind of think have been really hampered by a lockdown. Looking at 2020 and looking at an athlete that has been able to put a lot of work in, let's move to the female side of it. Ida Matilda, she
Stingard.
The Danish Red Bull athlete. She has had a cracking 2020, an absolute beast in one. She's done extremely well. I think she's podiumed at every event she's raced in this year. With one of the highlights being winning the 2020 Concord Castle event, which they did in a very nice, safe way, I think over in Denmark, the Red Bull people did.
I mean, to be fair, Denmark has been quite well, haven't they, with the old COVID? Until Mink happened, but as of yet, they've had a reasonably less affected way, haven't they? In Denmark, so they've been able to run races still.
I think looking at one of her races, she won the tough trails in Denmark, and the prize for first place, you got like a sword. It looks so cool.
Nice. Like,
creative trophies are one of my loves for things, like Savage Race in America, give away that axe. Just looks cool.
You just know that started with some race director going, shit, we forgot to order the medals. What should we give out as a trophy? Fuck it, let's go to the loft and find something.
I think Ida's going to have, well, she's obviously had a great 2019. She had a great 2020. I just think on an international stage, even more, maybe looking at Spartan, maybe continuing with...
Mate, there's no maybe about it. She's definitely coming up to Spartan because, let's be fair, and as much as everyone hates me to say this, it's the place to be if you're a top-end athlete because it supports the athlete, you know, in this... Oh, I've said that wrong. But in the sense of, right, prize money, they...
Oh, yeah.
There's
good money. And she had a great time over in Slovakia. I think her and Leon went to Slovakia to race this year in the Spartan events. Yeah. I think 2 seconds, which is pretty good. It was quite mountainous races. So to take,
she's not exactly built for the mountains, is she? Let's be fair.
Well, I don't think from Denmark that you have much mountains. And you look at who came first in that race. It was Esther Hortabagiova.
Yep. Nice. He nailed it. Oh, at the park.
Getting there. Not been practicing before. But yeah, so, and we know Esther has been on an absolute tear in the Spartan races in Europe, and she's one, definitely another, probably one to watch. But
she, how old is she? And that's really rude for us to speculate on a podcast, but how old do you reckon she is?
Who, Esther?
I know she listens, so don't, no, sorry. Ida.
Ida, I'm going to go 25 to 26, something around about there.
21. It's always safe to say 21, mate, because if she's 24, you just really pissed her off. Nah, she's, I don't think she's 21. We'll say that. But what I'm getting at is, yeah, it's funny because these athletes we've talked about, they've been going for years, but they're still quite young. You know, like it feels like they've been around in the sport for a long time.
You look at Ida, and we was just talking about like having a good support network there, and maybe 2020 has hampered that a little bit. But from her side, being a Red Bull athlete, she's obviously having a good amount of support. And when we had her on the podcast before, believe she was in the Red Bull facility at one of their training places doing some testing and some training there. And you kind of think from an OCR point of view, having athletes that go into those kind of top-end facilities to train, where like you've got top trail runners, top race car drivers that are sponsored by Red Bull going there to do their training, it's only going to enhance the sport. And you're right, she's at a good age where, or we think she's at a ripe age of life to be taking on the world. And she did amazing last year in OCR World Championships. I think she could go one step further this year and take a title.
Well, that's interesting because the rival, the beater last year at the things, just had a baby, isn't she? Karen Carson. Karen Carson. So it'd be interesting to see if Karen comes back. Another person as well who had a baby, and the bloody name has gone right out of my head as I was about to say it. Susanna Mokotsamova, thank you very much. Whether she comes back, because I know she's done a few races and podiumed at a few races. So someone like that who really stormed onto the scene in Spartan racing, you know, 5-6 years ago in Tahoe, you know, and smashed it and surprised everyone. She's gone away, had a baby, and she's sorry at the later ages, you know, of being young and ripe. She's but experienced, and we can never, you know, severely. What amazing athlete she is. Do you know what I mean?
She's a winner. Yeah. Like, you just look at her obstacle racing career. She is a winner. She has won big titles. She's won mostly all of the races that she entered. She has been on the podium. I think when we spoke to Jack Bauer, she was a podium lock Like any race that she's raced, she's almost hit the podium every time. So yeah, if she can regain some form, maybe this year has been a godsend for her. Maybe she's had a good year of solid training, had a good year to look after the baby, and she's going to come back in 2021 and smash it. So
yeah, I mean, that's interesting. We were talking about this a little while ago, weren't we, about having babies at a certain time of the year. And for someone like yourself, I thought you know, oh shit, I've had a baby at a wrong time, you know. I know we talked about Scott, a friend of ours, had the same thing, but actually COVID it's actually turned out a very good time for you. You haven't actually trained this year, raced this year, but all you've done is train and got used to having a baby in your life. Do you think COVID for these athletes is almost a godsend? It's given them especially in a sport of OCR. I mean, unlike an Olympic sport, track and field, even like cycling, where they sort of, like, we all know we periodize our training to certain races. And we've always said, like, Hobie, for instance, has always been one of, we shouldn't race a Saturday, Sunday. You shouldn't race Sunday, Sunday. You shouldn't do, you know, it's too much for the body and all this palaver. And we all know, especially weekend warriors that go and race, like, probably don't really train a lot because of work and commitments and family commitments, go and race really hard at the weekend. They do that every weekend throughout the whole of the year and end up collecting trophies and medals. You know, they've got more they can actually fit in their whole house. Do you think that's actually helped us this year, even as like what I would call sort of trying to be really good athletes? Do you think that sort of tamed us down, backed us off a little bit, made us gone, do you know what? I mean, don't get me wrong, I have missed racing.
Yeah.
I have so missed racing, but at the same time, I've actually quite enjoyed training and just getting to know my weaknesses. And I've been ups and downs. I've taken this as a mental training block, really, because it's like you peak, your watch tells you peaking, you feel really fast and fit, you know. Then you go and do something like, for me, like the short course championships, you know, and I go and win those. And I'm like, do you know what? Maybe I should be racing this year. I feel really fast and quick. And then you go and do a simple workout and you feel like shit. And it's like, what's going on? And I think it is just your mental fatigue. You know, I think you do.
Yeah. It's
amazing how much not racing catches up with you mentally, I think.
Yeah, I think it's been a tough year for everybody. How's it affected people in OCR? Like, I think it's hard because, especially like the UK and Europe, I don't think you've got like the top 1-5% are what I would call making a living, or a professional, or an amateur style professional. Like, they're doing training and racing more than they would a job. But most of the people are going to have a job of some sort to back them up. So maybe having that time off, going to work, like being furloughed or being at home, has helped, because you've had more time to dedicate. I know it's been a bit easier for me. I'm currently on furlough at the moment, and it's like, well, I can do my run in the middle of the day if I need to. I can do my workout in the morning, and then I can do a run in the evening. I don't have those 8 hours of going to work, splitting my day up or putting me there. So that's been a good plus point, I guess, for like trying to improve myself, trying to get better. But yeah, I think from a mental side and a non-race side, it's been probably tough, because racing gives you that point to aim for, and gives you that kind of, also gives you a bit of a release. Like, if you are training, if you don't keep it structured, or you don't keep yourself on a certain path, like, I think I've peaked like 6 times on my watch, and I'm just like, I'm like, yeah, cool. But then you peak, and then 2 weeks later it'll be like undertrained, or something will flash up, like it'll be 2 down arrows. If you've got a Garmin, you know what I'm talking about. And then you'll be like, well, I'm still similar-ish, but I've been running slightly this, that. Or you do like a big kind of test run, and then afterwards you're out for 2 weeks on analytics. So I think at the moment, maybe not looking at your watch as much is a good thing.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we always say that, don't we? At the end of the year, we tend to take our watches off for a couple of weeks and just have a bit of a fun. I mean, I literally just put a post up on Instagram before this podcast talking about this time of year, just having a bit of fun with training, you know. But basically, I mean, it's still touted that we might go to Tenerife and do the Spartan European Championships. And I don't want to get too excited because at the minute, that's not looking like it's going to happen. Mm. But it's the offer's there. As Spartan Pro, we've been offered to go over. It would be exciting. I could get my... We've still got enough time to train for it. But at the same time, I don't want that mental letdown again. It's like, you know what? I'm happy just to train shit now, you know, like train new stuff, have a go, you know, keep my running going, but really not have too much like, I need to do this and I need to do that right now. It's actually stressing me out, and I'm not a stressful person, not at all. You know, it's really like sort of getting me down that actually, and I'm just thinking, you know what, as of the minute, let's just say that races are going to start in June, you know? So right now, is it any, does it matter if I'm going to be peaking a 5K at 16 minutes? Does it really, you know, like, what's the difference? What's the point? You know, yes, it's nice to know we can do it, but if you ain't going to have to do it, what's the point? You know?
Yeah. So it's one of those, isn't it? It's like, it's all well and good doing a PB right now, but if you're not going to use it to race, then is there much point going forward and having it? But yeah, we've kind of deviated from our point currently of athletes to watch.
And don't worry, Luke hasn't turned into a baby. Or has he?
Baby in the room.
No, so, one put baby in the core.
She's not in the core.
Athletes to watch. Yes, bring it back. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. So, right. Let's come back four. To homegrown. Let's come back to homegrown.
Yeah. Let's hit a couple of UK athletes.
Yeah, let's tell me. What do you think? We've done this before. We've upset people before. But who would you say in the UK right now that you would think next year would go on to do something for the UK in the OCR scene?
Oh, I think, again, you've got to look at what events are out there and what events people are going to go to, because I don't think there'll be too many top-level UK athletes flying over to OCR World Championships in America, just because it is quite far away. And at a similar-ish kind of time of the year, or just before, you've got World Obstacle, the championships in Sochi.
Yeah,
I think a lot more people are going to commit to the Sochi event. I could be wrong. You could get some top-level people heading over there. But I think from a UK point of view, from like a male standpoint, one to watch for next year, Tom Tweddle. I think on the international scene, he did really well in the European Championships a year ago. They're in Italy next year. And then you've got the World Obstacle Championships in Sochi. So I think those two events, if he's going to go, I think he's got an outside chance for podium, definitely. Definitely a strong top five finish in the Euros, maybe top 10, maybe a bit better in the Worlds. It depends who actually goes to those championships. But there would be my two kind of events to look out for. Homegrown talent and Tom Tweddle being like the top male. What about
Tom would be my choice, mainly because he's already been there. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I think he's already sort of had a bit of success, like you say, in the top 10. So that he would be silly not to say Tom, because he's a great athlete, a fantastic runner, which is, let's be honest, if you want to be a good OCR athlete, you have to be a runner. And Tom is a runner, you know, and he can... Yeah. Just so happens he can climb on a rig at the same time, which is kind of handy.
It helps.
I mean, I want to look from a different perspective, right? What? Because this isn't something that I'm thinking. You know, let's step forward 6 months, right? I'm gonna have a baby. Training's gonna be a bit different. I'm gonna have a baby at the wrong time.
There's no wrong time.
there is, because it means races are gonna hit back, and my baby's gonna be like, "Daddy, Daddy." I don't know why he's Scottish, but there you go. But I'm thinking, like, is it time to specialize? You know, is it time to say, you know what, trying to race Spartan Worlds, OCR Worlds, Sochi, all at the same time? Like, unless you're John Abbott and Ryan Atkins that can dedicate your life to this sort of sport, maybe it is worth just, you know, specializing. That makes me think, like, have we got any really good specialized athletes in, like, the 100-meter ninja track? that type of thing, you know, like your Ali Hayes, your people like that, that, you know, have obviously done it on the Ninja Warrior and the commercial show styles. Can they do it at a level of actually OCR?
Can they do it on a wet, windy night in Stoke, you're trying to say?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, I'll blab my secret. I'm thinking, because I was selected for Russia, Sochi Federation, because I was selected for the 3K, and then I went and won the championships a couple of weeks ago, I'm thinking I'd be silly not to try and actually dedicate my whole 2021 to that one race in Russia.
So, but it might be Leon to my Nikolai.
Basically, yeah, yeah, exactly. Leon to my Nikolai. He'll like that.
You're just a little taller.
But that, I hate that. I hate the idea of that, because actually I don't like the idea in 3K. The idea of racing a 3K is pointless, but it's but, not, kind of.
Yeah, I think, again, you've got to look at it. You look at the one person who I think in Europe is, well, there's probably two or three people that are very specialised in Europe. But you look at the people that are specialised, they're extremely successful in that speciality.
Yeah,
I cannot say his name, but there is a Polish guy who...
Hey, no, say his name.
No, I can't.
Is Eloina there? She could say it for you.
Yeah.
Is it Bart? No?
No, it's Wazowski. Something like
that. Mike Wazowski.
But he is very, very specialised in the short course in Poland, in the European Championships, in World OCR. He will only do the 3K. But he wins all of the arrow events, which is the Barbarian Arrow. He does very well in those. And like Leon, we've mentioned Leon, he's very open about being extremely specialized in the shorter versions. And obviously he does very well on a longer distance course because he can run, he can do obstacles, but he puts his main majority of training in for the short course and it paid off. He's 2-time 3K European champion. It shows that specialization does have a place, and it probably would, take you for example, next year you're going to be maybe slightly less time to train, slightly less time to put those 10 to 15 mile runs in, those 2-hour workouts. Maybe you're going to have to do those workouts that are a little bit more shorter and sharper. And yeah, if you put a specialization in and say, right, I'm going to do that 3K, I'm going to do the 5K at, say, World Obstacle, maybe that's the way to go.
I think as well, I would like to do some of the European tour. So I'd quite like the idea of doing some of the Viking races. It's basically what we were going to do this year if COVID hadn't hit us. But maybe even going over to the Europeans, you know, and given the World OCR, because obviously as Spartan races aren't real true OCR races, so go and prove that actually we are and we can do it and we will do it. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking, is there anybody in the country other than Tom Tweddle? I mean, even from the girls' side, this is the problem with the UK, right, is we haven't got enough people coming through still at the minute. They might be there, and people are probably screaming at their headsets right now going, oh, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? And I appreciate there is lots of people out there that are good at OCR in the UK. I appreciate that. But I'm talking, is there anyone that can take on Ida? Is there anyone that can take on Nikolai or Leon or, God forbid, John Alban? You know, John Alban, let's talk about John. He's just come back from a foot injury. He currently can't run more than 3 6-mile without dying. So, you know, is John Alban going to be in any shape next year for OCR? Don't believe everything you hear, because he's probably not. He's probably in fantastic shape.
I think he'd be fine. But you're talking about people in the UK. So you spoke to her on the podcast, Alex Arnold.
Yep. I tell you what, that's a great shout. That girl has got some talent.
Now, how impressive was she in taking the Northern title and the Southern one? Did she take both?
Yeah, she took both. Yeah, yeah. And she's 40-odd. Mate, and she ripped everyone apart, made them look silly.
There you go. And also, she is like what I would call true OCR experience. OCR World Champs 2019, she won her age group
in the 3K. And that was her first ever race.
There you go. Then she's had a lot of experience from Ninja Warrior in, I think she was on the German show.
Yeah, she was, yeah.
She's been on a few other little bits as well.
Alex is a great show, actually. He has a good call. Has a good one out of the bag there. You save yourself there, Luke.
There you go. So for specialization, like somebody like that is kind of who Jack's alluding to, somebody who is very much there. Specialization is a short course. Like, I'm sure she would first admit, like, a 5K is probably her, like, running OCR style limit. Like, a 15K classic is what I call, like, an OCR World Championships is a bit too much of a distance for her to have a big impact on the top three. Yeah, you're looking at, like, guys. There are definitely a load of guys out there that do different things, but I don't think there's many that are very, like, I'm doing the 3K. That is my 100% focus. There could be people that are thinking that, like, right, I want to do a 3K. It's very hard when you do, I would say, when you're Spartan focused, because they make you do the three distances.
Yeah.
If you want to do the UK series, you have to do a sprint. You have to do a super. You have to do a beast.
But for me, that's what OCR is, and that's how it should be. Do you know what I mean? I like that idea that you can go and do a beast. Like you say, the John, the Ryan Atkins, that type of athlete where you can mix to other sports and distances, and you should still come out on top, effectively. But
yeah, well, you look at John, and he's like a freak. So it's very hard to be John Alvin and win a 3K, a 15K, and then win World's Toughest Mudder, like, ultra. There's just people like Ryan Atkins, John Alban, Killian that are just...
Can you think of any other sportsmen that, or even endurance sports, that do that? Can you think of any other John Alban in another sport in industry? Like, Mo Farah does 5 and 10, but that's reasonably the same, isn't it? Like, is there anybody out there that is like... Can you think of anyone?
I think you got to look at, say, somebody like... from a running perspective, look at somebody like Tom Evans, the ultra runner.
Yeah.
Also, it has an absolutely rapid 5K. He went over to Poland to do the World Half Marathon Championships.
Yeah.
He ran an extremely fast half in Ireland. So he's got a crazy range from multi-day marathon Desaro. All the way down to, like, I think it's like a 14:25K or something. His 5K is outrageously fast. Yeah. Range on that guy from a running perspective is unreal.
Yeah.
You got to look at, you can take cyclists and look at somebody in there. Like, recently the Giro d'Italia was on. You've got Filippo Ganna who won the time trial world championships. And then he also won a stage in that race, which was just a normal, like, stage in a day. It wasn't time trial. It was just an open stage. He just got himself in the right position and absolutely caned up the hill. So he's obviously got a wide range on himself. I'm sure there's plenty of other people as well.
But they're all one-offs though, aren't they? Like, the difference is with John and OCR, he does it time and time again.
Yeah. John's one of those dominant champions, especially if you just... If you're looking at his championship results, if you take away, like, the normal races, the standard season races he's done, you look at his championship results and he is pretty much one of the most dominant champions, you could tell. You could probably say in OCR he is the most dominant champion
overall.
With Ryan being somewhere very, very close. But, yeah, it's an interesting one. Other sports as well. We're obviously going to be delving into a few other sports. So... We've done our ones to watch for 2021. We've hit a few homegrown and a few European talents as well. So let's look at 2021 from a different angle. What events in 2021? Let's look at the UK, Jack. What events take your fancy? OCR, endurance?
Any event that happens without COVID is brilliant. Like, can you imagine? I was thinking this earlier today, right? Could you imagine now if someone like... an ultimate, like, if you could do an event now and you could put it in January, how many signups you'd have? Because, like, I even saw people, like, non-Spartan people on the Spartan group saying, who's going to Tenerife next? I'm thinking, you lot are just getting desperate now. You hate Spartan. Why are you going to, you know? I think any event is going to be good. But for me personally, like I said earlier, I'm going to go with my positioning with baby and family and moving and all that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to specialize more towards the shorter distances because that's what suits me. Mm-hmm. For running and OCR, but I'm going to go longer in more cycling, canoeing, and less impact sports. So yeah. I'm going to try and keep my endurance base there in the cycling, canoeing style stuff, and then keep my running shorter, sharper, OCR style, because yeah. I've obviously got field fit. I'm very lucky that I can train that way. Yeah. So there's a race, a couple of races actually, that locally to me that you can do. So like some open water swimming, I'm definitely going to get back into that as well, because I live near you with about a meter of the beach, or I will do when I move house. Yeah. So definitely some swimming events for me. Locally here, they do a couple of 1 mile, 2 mile, or 5K swims. Yeah. So I might train for a couple of them just for shits and giggles. I'm looking at getting a gravel bike as well. And personally, I'd want to do a couple of adventures. There's a couple of sort of gravel bike adventures that you must do in the UK. So I'm going to get in the old bus and go around and do a couple of those. Eventually, just going along and doing any type of non-OCR event I can, basically. Just to try and mix it up and see if I know I'm going to enjoy it. I've done swim runs in the past. I've done triathlons, Ironmans. I mean, I don't want to get back into triathlon because I know I'm going to enjoy it. And the problem with triathlon is just time, money, and effort. Again, I'm already there, and I do love triathlon, and I will dabble in a sprint and Olympic, but my game now is OCR. That is my game. That's where I want to win my medals, my money, my trophies. So that's not really answered your question, has it?
No, you've skirted around the question.
So, I have skirted around the question. My first event next year is an ultra run. Before cool. baby is due, I'm doing Pedder's Way Ultra, which is a 49-mile, basically an old railway track in Norwich. That's my first event, if you want a real question, an answer, sorry.
There you go. So an ultra.
Yes. Perfect. Before the baby. And then I can just be happy I've got that trophy and just do 3K and mile time trials from then.
There you go. So you also mentioned a few different things like canoes and biking. And I think next year might be a good year for a lot of people to look at doing an adventure race. Obviously, it became quite at the forefront of TV with Eco Challenge coming back and being on screens. It was on Amazon Prime, I believe.
Yep.
Bear Grylls was there. Giannamon.
He was
around. And then you had, obviously, the OCR competitors were in the Canadian team as well. So there was a bit of interest from our side. But there's definitely some great races throughout the UK for those to do. There is one called Quest Stars,
which we've been saying we're going to be doing for ages, and it just keeps either getting cancelled or moved. So
I was very annoyed because they'd done one in for November, and I was like, right, I'm going to do that. And then 2 weeks before, it was cancelled due to COVID. And I was like, oh, God. So queststars.co.uk. So that's probably my little shout out for them. An adventure race next year might be a one to do.
I like your thinking.
So we got an ultra from Jack, got an adventure race from me. Also, you mentioned swim run there, Jack. We're going to try and do this once every so often, maybe every episode, maybe a little bit different, but we're going to look at an endurance sport or something that isn't the norm, let's say, and we're just going to try and delve in and find out a little bit more about it. Jack has done a swim run before. I've seen a few swim runs on social media and stuff, but enlighten us, Jack. Tell us a bit more about swim runs.
So for me, it was a bit of a funny story. So for me, I was looking for a minimal barefoot shoe, would you believe? And obviously, I was going for the Vivos I came through.
Yep.
And when I looked on the Vivo website, I realized this shoe was built for... I was actually looking for one for OCR, because I wanted one that drained water. Bearing in mind, I started OCR, I didn't really know a lot about it. So I bought this shoe, minimal shoe for Ultra, and then I realized it had Otillo written on it, and I actually just happened to look that up and see what it was, and it turned out to be a swim run. Now, this was 3 years ago, so 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, basically, I hadn't heard of swim run. didn't really know a lot about the concept, and it turned out there wasn't many in the UK anyway. They only just started in this year, and it was the British Gas, or what used to be the British Gas Swim. They were doing a swim run, like a trial and error, trying it out basically in Suffolk, in Alton Water at the Road for Me. Mm-hmm. So I looked at that, I was like, well, you need two people. So I'm like, I need to find a friend first, because I haven't got one of those. So I need to find a friend first, then basically learn to swim run with them.
Now, is there a thing behind the swim run having two people? Is it a safety thing? Because I always see two people.
I think it's more of a team thing. So I think it's more a case of just getting you to work as a team. You know, they don't do single championship swim runs. And I know why, because it wouldn't be that fun. it's hard work. At least if you're suffering with someone next to you, you can scream abuse.
Of course.
So I happened to work in a gym when I did my swim run, and a guy who does triathlons happened to say to me, I quite fancy a swim run. And that was it. It just sort of happened.
Yeah.
I didn't even ask him if he could swim.
Well, so he did triathlons, so you'd have hoped.
Well, you'd think so, yeah, but a lot of triathletes can't swim. Anyway, he says to me, yeah, we'll go down and we'll go do a bit of training. I was like, that's a great shout. We'll go a bit of training. So I basically Googled, like you do everything, swim run, best techniques, review, what to do if you swim run, what do I need to wear, what wetsuit do I want, blah, 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 blah. So after a bit of researching, I realized you could use a pool buoy, which is basically a flotation device that you can put between your legs. Now, if anybody's met me or knows me from swimming, I don't kick my legs. I use all my upper body for my arms. I have heavy legs, they sink. So the fact that I can swim quicker with a pool buoy than I can without a pool buoy is quite impressive. So for me, I was like, well, that's great. I can wear a pool buoy. So that's good. You can also wear paddles, which basically is like a flat bit of plastic on your hand, which basically means when you pull the water, you grab more surface area so you can pull through the water quicker. Again, another plus, because I use my hands a lot to swim. So there's two things that have gone, well, this is getting easy. I had a wetsuit anyway, because I own a boat, so we do a bit of thing. Although I did have to change my wetsuit very quickly, because that particular wetsuit was not suitable for a swim run. And for reasons why I'll tell you in a minute. So we turned up to this, what can only be described as a river called Flatford near us. And it's basically a real shallow, clean water river that you can swim in, or people do swim in it. So we decided that what we would do is we would jump in, we would swim 200 or 300 meters, we'd climb out, we'd run a bit, and we'd jump back in, swim a couple more 100 meters, and just see how we got on. We didn't really have any. So lash aid together. So it has to be, I think it's can be no more than 5 meters apart. So we made it the full 5 meters. It goes round your waist. They have a bit round their waist, and you can't leave each other. Basically, you don't have to have the lashay, but basically you can't be apart from your partner. So the best thing to do is lashay, because then if you have a stronger runner or a stronger swimmer, that person goes at the front. Fortunately, the guy that I was with, Luke, he's quite a big, strong guy. So he was ideal for the swim or the run. When I was starting to get tired, he could pull me out and what have you. Didn't really work that way. So we jump in, look like idiots. People are like, what the hell are these two doing? we jump out, and I realized I had my pool buoy in my hand. I'm like, well, I can't run with all this gear on me. You know, so then you start to look, and again, you go back to YouTube. You like, how do swim run, like proper swim run guys, get away with it? Obviously, you drill a couple of holes in your buoy, but you have a bit of elastic, so you can put elastic around your leg. So then when you get out, you can swish, listen to me, you can swivel the pool buoy to the outside of your leg, so then it doesn't affect your running style.
Mm-hmm.
The flapper things on your hands, you can do what you like. Personally, I'd made the elastic so I could take them off and tie them back to my arm so they weren't on my hands, because then you can't drink or whatever. So there's a few little things. The wetsuit, and I will say this, if you're looking at doing swim runs or anything like Europe's Tough Mudder, where you're going to be running in a wetsuit, definitely buy a swim run wetsuit, because they are designed for running in for a reason. So that was lesson one learned quite quickly. So buy yourself a proper swim run wetsuit. They're quite thin. Mine's a shorty. It's got all the movement in the arms and the hips and the legs. Really, you don't know you're swimming in a wetsuit. It's quite handy to have. Probably not in the winter, but in the summer, it's fine. So yeah, we trained for probably 3 or 4 weeks, like properly learning to do it. Mm-hmm. Come to the actual day. It's quite a new sport. There wasn't many people there. I think it was about 12 or 15 pairs. We jump in, we get going. I soon realize that I'm leading the whole damn thing because my guy's, I don't know what he was doing. He's pacing behind me. We were about fourth or fifth. So we didn't have a very good start. Quite a lot of thrashing about. And what I thought is the leaders are gone. So I was like, right, okay. So we're battling out for fourth or fifth now. We get out and we soon realized the two of the couple that we were with don't really run. And we were runners. We were stronger runners than what we were swimmers at the time. Yeah. So we smashed down this like 6 minute mile pace for the first few hundred meters. And like we start overtaking people and start doing quite well. And so like, you're second, keep going, you're second. So we just get rid of this. And it was a 5K loop. So I think it was 3K of running and 2K of swimming, or roughly thereabouts.
Yeah.
And we're doing this thing and we're loving it. We're having a ball, we're chatting, there was no real pressure.
Yeah.
We get to the very last section of the swim run part and we get out of the water and I say to Luke, my mate behind me, I was like, well, I think the leaders are just there. I think they're just there. And he's like, right, let's go. So we absolutely sprint this like last little section. And as we came around this corner, we could see they were diving in for the last bit. And mm-hmm. you could see the finishing line, the finishing ramp was the opposite side of the lake. So you could see exactly where you were going. You could see exactly what you needed to do.
Yeah.
And like out of nowhere, this, you know, 50, 60 minute race turned into like an absolute manic mayhem in the last 100 meters because it was like, fucking get there. You know, like so we jump in, I dive in and I'm absolutely thrashing the crap out of the water, you know, and I can feel, and we were neck and neck at this point. And it was, I feel really harsh because it was a girl and a guy and we were two guys. But nah, screw that. It's going for it. And she was obviously the swimmer. She was a very good swimmer. And I felt when I was neck and neck with her, I couldn't keep up with her. She was actually quicker than me and my shoulders were getting so tight at this point. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to do a bit of tacticals here. I actually crossed her line. So I actually went over her rope and managed to just sort of, every time I did a stroke, I hit her legs. So I was putting her off.
You terrible human.
Oh yeah, it's all about those tactics, isn't it? And then from nowhere, the guy behind me, and he doesn't listen to the podcast, so I can say this, basically, who had done a free ride the whole way from nowhere, overtakes us, gets out the ramp. I'm being pulled up the ramp backwards because I hadn't even finished swinging the whole, literally dragged me up the ramp and we finished first. But
so basically, he won the race for you.
He won the race for us, basically, yeah. It's quite funny because I was still tangled up with the girl. So we all sort of fell in a pile and it was quite funny. But to be fair, it was the most painful race, and I forgot to even mention this, I have done ever. Honestly, the pain of going from a swimming hard, and anybody that's out there that swims will know, going from a very hard swimming position to then a complete upright running position, and then to get your legs going is stupidly hard. And it's, I don't know what it was. I think I remember rightly, just like, I don't know if it was my heart that couldn't keep up or it was my legs that couldn't keep up, whatever it was. It was just bloody, the transition, you know, going from up to down is tough. But when we finished it, I was like, do you know what? And I don't know why I have never done another one. I do know why, because my partner's useless. But not my partner, but the partner at the time. Every short passer went, what? no, the partner that I had at the time, he then just disappeared off the face of the earth. But I think if he had said to me, should we do another one? I think there's a good chance we would have done quite a few. Ironically, the people that we came second or second, we came second to us, they actually went on and went and did Otillo, the world championships, which is basically a massive race in Sweden where they do it. Yeah. And they went, and now they're actually like multi-sex couple champions. So that was a very long story. I'm very sorry. I blabbered on about that.
Well, that is Jack's explanation of a swim run race. And Otillo is the biggest brand, I guess, or like.
Yeah, 100%.
The Spartan of swim run.
100%. And I honestly, I do, even if it's just a bit of fun or you see one advertised, because I think they do short course now and super short course. And I honestly, if you like OCR, I think it sounds silly, but I think you'd enjoy it because it's the same sort of feeling, getting up to an obstacle, stopping, going hard, stop, you know, it's this, it's the same sort of what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, mental side, physical side. It just yeah, it's a really good non sort of, you can go and do it and not have a real pressure about doing well, because at the end of the day, you know, if you're out of your comfort zone, you're out of your comfort zone, you don't expect to do well. And I think sometimes it's good to have your ass handed to you sometimes as well.
2021, if you're looking for a challenge or something to take you to a new place, then try a swim run out. You can listen to Jack's very lengthy explanation of a swim run. And
or you can just skip the last 10 minutes of this podcast because it's just been Jack talking shit. Sorry. I'll shut up talking. Sorry.
Well, we've hoped you've enjoyed today. Our multi-sport media. We'll obviously be bringing you some very interesting guests soon. We have been, Jack's been working hard to get our next guest coming on the podcast very soon, behind the scenes. Yep, check us out on social media. Head over to our Instagram or Facebook page. Also, check out the YouTube. We've got the full interview we did with Sam Briggs on there and a few little clips as well. And a few more of those will be dropping on social media very soon. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you very much. Sorry once again. Woo! Oh, guess what? I'm back again. Don't worry, no more lengthy stories. Just a couple of things, guys. Obviously, if you want to be more involved on the creative side of multi-sport media, we do have a Patreon group, which all money goes towards developing the podcast, you know, making it quality, helping me and Luke develop that quality podcast for you guys. So you can find us now as on Patreon as Multisport Media. We are calling the group the Pit Crew. So you will be a part of the Pit Crew. And basically, you can donate as little as, I think it is in dollars, but you can donate as little as $2 up to $7, which is roughly a couple of quid to a £5, which all helps, basically. So yeah, head over to Patreon. I think it's currently still under OCR Audio, but I will get that changed to Multisport Media or the Pit Crew. You can find us on Facebook. Or if you have any more questions about Patreon, please obviously send us a link, send us an email or an Instagram message, DM on Instagram or Facebook. That would be appreciated. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cheers, guys. And also next year, Spartan Race UK are coming back with a calendar of races, and we can help you get there. We have a code that you can use to get a bit of a discount on those races. I believe the code is for age group and open waves only. It is Spartan Audio 21. Spartan Audio 21. All caps. That'll help you get to the races, get a bit off your entry fee as well. And yeah, we hope to see you there. We'll be there. So come find us. We'll be doing a bit of media work. But yes, use the code, all caps, Spartan Audio 21.
And Luke, how do you like my new hip hop outro and intro music? Oh yeah, sounds good.
I'm liking it. It's good.
Yeah, it's good, man. Right, anyway, I'm going off to party and eat my dinner. Bye.